and medical world, and you all know that I'm not a doctor. Don't you know that? Well, in medical world, diseases have symptoms. Diseases have symptoms. In some manner or in some way, our spiritual diseases have symptoms as well. Like some poorly trained doctors, they will always try just to treat the symptoms without really understanding and going to the root causes of the symptoms. And the results are always disastrous because they can just give the wrong medications. And how many people have suffered from that? And God, our God, also in this way, want to help us in when we have diseases, spiritual diseases, and our spiritual diseases have symptoms. But what are the root causes of these symptoms? Well, the text before us today deal with one symptom that I want to bring out clearly. Spiritual symptoms, that if it is present in our lives, I can guarantee to you that we will be crippled of the things we want to do for God's glory. Things even like we are used to doing things our own ways, even just like fearing to step out from our comfort zone and do things differently can be a problem as well. We have been always doing it this way. I've been thinking this way. This is how I have been raised up. But with God, there's nothing like that. And that is not my subject, actually. I just like. But the text we have today, like if we look back to chapter 6 in Isaiah, Isaiah dealt with two issues. One was independence. King Uzziah was independent, wanted to do things his own way, king in his own terms, not a king that was raised up by God himself to lead God's people as a king and to follow God closely and lead God's people in the ways of righteousness. He did horrible things after he started well, and so he started to act like a priest. That was not for him. That was not his office. And so he acted clearly against God's word. And there was also this question of gossiping, Isaiah crying out, a man of unclean lips, and I live among people of unclean lips. Well, I'm not saying that this chapter 7 is a second message, because actually two kings already reigned, and it's like over a period of over 30 years. And now in this chapter, we are dealing with one issue that Isaiah is confronting, and that is the issue of unbelief. Issue of unbelief. That manifested itself in fear. Fear is symptom. But the problem is unbelief. Because this man, he was asked. He was asked by the Lord himself to ask for a sign. He was asked to ask for a sign, and he wouldn't want to ask to ask the Lord. So let me put this in context, how we are dealing with this. Let me read this to you again to refresh your thinking. In the year that that is chapter 6. When Ahaz, son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, was king. See, already two kings was king of Judah. King Rezin of Aram and Pekah, sons of Remaliah, king of Israel, marched up to fight against Jerusalem, but they could not overpower it. That was the problem Judah was facing that time. What was the problem they were facing? That the southern kingdom was threatened by a powerful neighbor, Assyria. And so that was really a real threat to them, to the life of Judah. And so these Assyrians were threatening this secure nation of God. So the nations, although was in sin of having bad kings, yet they were, because of their disobedience to the Lord and their lack of trust in him. So God opened them up to these foreign kings to really come and disturb them and destroy them and take them into captivity. So now the house of David, that is the ruling kingdom, the ruling kings in Judah, we're told that Aram has allied itself with Ephraim, the northern part of the kingdom of God. So those people, they align themselves with foreigners and to attack their brothers in the south. And these were really the descendants of Esau in the north. Although people of God, but they have no regards for God and for God's people. So they are making alliance with foreigners and to come and attack the city of David, Jerusalem, the seat of the Ark of the Covenant. And so what was the result? So the hearts of Ahaz and his people were shaken as the trees of the forest are shaken by the wind. What a powerful feeling, response to a threat that was mounting against them. Fear is terrible, that we don't know its impacts if we have never feared something. Maybe many of us are living in very secure environment. Even with that also, there are things that we fear, even things that were just maybe even small things. Well, this kingdom, now they are so terrified. So they are fearful, and now their lack of faith is manifested in this fear that they have. So when there is fear among God's people here, what is the response of the Lord here? So we have from 1 to 2, we have the context, we have the problems, and we have the symptoms. So we can also reflect on our own. What are the things we fear the most? Do we fear that your life might be cut short and that you will not be able to raise up your children? We have a young woman lying, relatives lying in a hospital, was told that her life is coming to an end. Got young children, two daughters, and she's fearing that how her children are going to live. It's a reality. So fear is a reality. Maybe you fear that you lose your job. Maybe you fear that you may not have a husband or a wife. You fear that you may have really a fatal disease. Things like that we fear all the time. So our life is full of fears. But like in the days of Isaiah, the Lord himself, the king of his own people, sent these prophets whom he raised up to help his people focus on their God. So he raised up Isaiah to speak for God to his people and to remind God's people of their God. Now the Lord said to Isaiah, go out, my servant, go out and meet this king that I raise up over my own people, who is melting the hearts of my people in a state of being an instrument in God's heart. And we have seen that with godly kings, how they encourage their own people to stand firm and to trust that our God is with us. Do we have a witness in the Bible of such kings like that? Hezekiah, in Isaiah 39, 37, 38, 39, we know his history. When also the very people came to march in just like manner, like what is happening here. And so what they did, they came and they have their leaders coming to speak to the people of God over a fence, telling them that don't trust your king and surrender fully to us and you will be saved. And the king was in front of his people. And because the diplomatic language those days was Aramaic, so that was a language that was spoken only by the elites and the ruling powers. And so because those people, they were really highly trained to live in that area, so they can address nations that they want to address in the language that they can use. And so the people who were speaking to King Hezekiah and his own people, they deliberately spoke in Hebrew, so that the people can hear And then the fear will come into their hearts and they may surrender, abandon their king. Their king, although he was really also frightened and was fearful, so what he said to those messengers, he said to them, speak to us in Aramaic so we can understand this and don't speak to our people. We are the responsible people. And they wouldn't listen. So they were speaking in Hebrew so that they can melt the hearts of the people. But Hezekiah maintained his position and encouraged his own people. Well, Isaiah was told, go out, you and your son Jashub. Just imagine you have been sent someone to speak to you and yet bringing his son with you. Just imagine like the head of the Reserve Bank coming and speaking in a conference and bringing with his son with him who has no job to do there, just accompanying his father. And then he would be asked, what is the name of your son? He will say, my son's name is Inflation. Inflation. How do you think people will feel? How do you think people will feel about that? Or a name that suggests that there might be like another 50 interest rise that are coming. Just imagine. Well, God in his own way also, he just sent this boy with his father, whose name is Shear Jashub. That has a meaning. And if you look at your Bible there, so they say Shear Jashub means a remnant will return. A remnant will return. That there is hope. Even though it's looking so bad, you king, there is hope. There is hope. So when you fear, that is not the final things. There is hope. Even though these people are going to go to exile because of their sin, but there is hope. Even when the problem seems to be really dragging on, there is hope. You know, a lot of doctors, they just turn off their life support just quickly. But for those who believe, there is hope. So you need to wait. You need to wait. So whenever you have any issue, just wait. Just wait. If you feel bad now, just wait for another 5 minutes. Think of a song. Think of a verse. Think of the promises of God. Even Emmanuel, we heard today. Well, this man came and he was told, take your son. Just God is speaking in language that people can't understand. So names. That is why names are very important. So we have a lot of people in South Sudan who were names, really random names, and when they started to have understanding, they started to change their names. So you know, when you negate a word like tick, that is life. But in newer language, if you say Shibitik, that means you will not leave. So there was this guy by name Shibitik, and then he changed his name from Shibitik to Tick, so which means that to leave. You see, not to leave, but like to die. You see, so names, really, they are very important. And so that is the thing here. So he was told to meet Ahaz at the end of the aqueduct of the upper pool on the road to the washerman's field. So the Lord just really telling him exactly at what point he was going to meet this man. That is what all this about. Say to him, be careful. So that is the first message. Be careful. Be careful, king. Because his heart was just like really melted, fearful. His heart was, the hearts of people were like the trees being just tossed by wind. Just imagine you have a heart like that. And I think the hearts that do not trust in God, they are just moved by things like that. So he was told to be careful, to be careful. Careful, just like have a thought. Who is your God? Have a thought. That is the first thing. Be careful. He was told to be careful. And we need to remember these words always as God's people, to be careful. Jumping into conclusions about ourselves, even about other people, even about our circumstances, even the climate change. Who knows? God may change the climate. But now they say, oh, it's going to boil and the degrees will just go from 50 to 100. And so, oh, this earth is going to melt, and how our children are going to live. Well, the world has been just going on for 1,000 years. God is keeping it. So the first message to the king, be careful. Keep calm. Because a person who is not calm, running around, you can make even a bad situation worse, isn't it? Just imagine when you want to do something and you're under pressure, you can't do it right. So be calm and don't be afraid. Fear. Don't be afraid. Don't be fearful. Do not lose heart. Let your heart not fall down. That is the word. Because of these two smoldering stubs of firewood, why God would describe this one? He said that he can put them off just like that easily. So God is saying, this powerful nation you see before me, they are nothing. What you fear to me is nothing. I can do things quickly now for you. All that you need to do is be careful who you believe. Trusting me. Be calm. I am with you. I love you. Don't be afraid. These forces that you see to me are nothing. The firewood, because of the fierce anger of Rezins and Arams and of the son of Ramaliah, the king of the northern parts. You replace their names and just put whatever can be a problem and a threat to you as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing you read, we read that in Romans 8. God is calling us as we really about to celebrate Christmas to think of this chapter. Let us keep going. These people, they say, let us invade Judah. Let us tear it apart and divide it among ourselves. These people who relied on God, these people are trying to determine their destiny, to determine their future and their lives, and to bring ruin to them. Who is in charge? Who is the king? The whole universe. Who is the one who has redeemed these people from Egypt, who gave them promises? The one who just destroyed all the other nations before them and planted them in a land that flows with milk and honey. Who is this man? Who is this God? That you can come and decide the fate and the future of his own people. Royal diadems. A priestly nation. A nation that had been called out from among all other nations. And exactly is you. Because even the Bible says, even Isaiah, they look to our times. All the prophets of the Old Testament, they were looking to our times today. The time where Jesus Christ will be our King and our Lord, ourselves, the Messiah, the Emmanuel, coming and living with us. These are the very people who were promised this Redeemer. Who can decide our fate and our future? Even the days of our lives are numbered in the hands of our Lord and our Masters. But these people, this is the language of the evil one in this world. The voice of Satan to our hearts, to your minds, telling you that I'm responsible, I'm in charge. And this world is all that you can see. It's a false. Hear the word of God for us today. That is not this northern kingdom. It's not these Arameans or Assyrians who has the decision to destroy God's people. No. They cannot do that. To tear it apart and divide it among themselves and make the son of these people to be kings. Yet this is what the sovereign Lord says. This is what the Lord says. Now again, giving messages. Be careful, be fine, be calm. Don't let your heart be troubled. So don't lose heart. Now he's saying it will not take place. Their threat will not take place. They will not destroy you. Because I am in charge. It will not take place. This event will not take place. The thing that you are thinking about will not take place. These are fears. These are the voice of Satan. Just believe, and tomorrow you will be surprised by what the Lord can do for you. You just believe and trust. So that is the problem of trust and faith and the promises of God. That is one of the issues that really blinds us from entering into a state of peace and rest in the promises of our God. And so fear is a symptom, but unbelief is the real problems. But the Lord even was telling him, this will not take place. And we have seen it. It will not take place. But God will act on his own accord and will just allow his people to be carried. He is punishing them, not because of these people. He's punishing them because of their sins. And always, when we have troubles, we shouldn't think too much about the devil. The devil, yes, is there. But what is our response? Shall we believe and say, it will not take place? What the enemy is speaking to your heart and your mind will not take place because you believe. For the head of Aram is Damascus. So he is just describing these people. And the head of Damascus is only Razin. Only Razin. He is just an earthly king that is earthen, that is unbeliever. And so I can just destroy him. And yet the Lord said, within 65 years, Ephraim will be too shattered to be a people. They will be carried to exile. The northern kingdom as a punishment because of their alliance with these people and their sin and departure from the Lord. The head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is only Ramaliah's son. If you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. This is the time when you are faced with these problems and these issues where your faith is required the most. Our faith is not required when things are nice and are good for us. Our faith shines when and we need it the most, when things are at their worst, when things are so difficult, when the enemy is bombarding our minds, our hearts and our bodies. This is where we pull out our faith and show it in the face of all these things. That is why, what is this? What the word says, if you do not stand firm in your faith now, and now this is the time, you will not stand at all. So this is your moment. Because where are you going to stand? You are required to stand at the worst time when you have to face the realities. When you are lying in that hospital, not knowing whether it's morning or night. When you are under low blood pressure for 3 days. When part of your organs are not even functioning well. When the interest rate is just looking like you are not going to maintain your house. When things are just going wrong with your children. This is where you need to stand firm in your faith. You pray and fight with the Lord in praise and return to him. This is his message. He says fear is a problem, but the antidote for fear is faith and trust in your God. Again, the Lord has spoken to Ahaz, ask the Lord your God for a sign. Just ask me. Well, he says, whether in the deepest depth or in the highest height. Ask anything, for there is nothing that is too hard for me to do. Ask. He was given a chance to ask. So when we have troubles and we want to stand in our faith, what do we do without our faith? Because it's not when you say faith, so this is where you when you need faith. But what do you do? What the faith does to you? The faith helps you to ask God, isn't it? To help you to come out from that situation. That is what we do. Your faith is when you open your mouth and you start to put your trust in God and you start to pray to Jesus and claim all the promises that he has given you here. And that is what exactly the King Isaiah, I mean the prophet Isaiah, is communicating to King Ahaz and his own people. He says to them, use your faith in this way. Ask me, what shall I do for you? So one of our problems is like we are so religious, so pious not to ask God. That is what really this man is going. But Ahaz said, I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test. This is religious language that we all know how to do very well. I will not put the Lord to test. Let me tell you a story. I think that was maybe in 2004 or 2002. I was coming from Spring Valley. It was really a rainy day, but it was hot and the sun was out. I was waiting for a bus. And then these two couples were in their 70s, 74, Australian, white Australian. And they were celebrating one of, I can't remember which one, birthday. And so as they saw me was waiting for a bus, they just decided to stop. They were driving a van. They said, where are you going? I said, I'm going to Clayton. So, well, we will give you a lift to Clayton. And what are you going to do? I'm going to a prayer meeting. I was coming to church. It was like 7:30, and the sun was up, and it was raining, and so forth. It was a nice day. Oh, and then we start coming and say, what are you doing? They said, we are celebrating. I was celebrating my wife's birthday. Wow, that is. And so today is a gift. You are a gift to us. And then, okay. And I said, okay, well, look, that is good. You have a companion. So, well, look, I'm a single man. So you may pray for me that I might have also a wife to celebrate her birthday. And they use this very language. They say, oh, no. We don't want to interfere with the Lord. We don't want to interfere with the Lord. And that is exactly, things have not changed, friends. We still use this language to this day. I will not put the Lord to test. I will not ask. The Lord knows, even before I open my mouth. Well, you know deep down there that there is an issue that you are facing and you claim to have faith. Ask. Jesus said, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be open unto you. Knock, knock, knock. Keep knocking. Keep asking. Keep seeking. Well, he wouldn't want to do that. I will not put the Lord to the test. Then Isaiah said, hear now, you house of David. Is it not enough to try the patience of men? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The Lord himself voluntarily will give a sign. Because you were not asking for a sign, but this sign, is the Lord himself is going to give as a proof that he is God who is involved with his own people. I will give this out of myself. God is doing this out of his love and grace and mercy for you and I. He will give a sign. The virgin will be with child, and will give birth to a son, and he will call him Emmanuel. Then God is going to come and dwell with his own people. Just these are the greatest signs you can ever receive. To cast out fears that God is distant. God does not care. That the enemy and the devil is in charge of the events of this world. But for a believer like you and I, the Lord God came into our midst, Emmanuel. God being with us. God coming to be with us. That is the highest expressions of God coming closer to us to diffuse any fear that we may encounter, and why we should not have faith when God has done all these things. It is 700 years before even Christ was born. Isaiah is the greatest prophet ever who spoke about Christ. And you see this in chapter 6. He saw the glory of Jesus, because that was what Jesus said, isn't it? In John 12. Isaiah saw my glory, and he rejoiced. The disciples saw his glory, the glory of Jesus, and they were changed. That was the titles of that sermon, changed by his glory. Isaiah, he knew that the greatest signs ever that God gave to prove to his own people that I am with you to the end, to eternity. Emmanuel, coming and being with us. And that is what really all about. That is what God was aiming at. The other day, this girl was saying, oh, Christmas is for little children like me. She is an adult, a Southern Sudanese lady that I don't know very well, but I saw that post. But I couldn't resist just responding really and saying, oh, you older people, leave Christmas for us, wait for Easter. And I said, the Easter also is for the young children. You see, because she wants to be a child, why would you deny yourself the greatest blessings of all? Emmanuel coming. And I said, the purpose of Jesus coming and be born as Emmanuel was to go to the cross, was looking to the Easter. Emmanuel coming and dying on the cross of Calvary to prove to us God has come into our midst. He demonstrated this over 33 years, living with his own people, casting out demons, showing them that God is with you. Wine at a wedding. He just turned water into wine. Lazarus dead, come out for days, blind, demon-possessed. Jesus did this, feeding and speaking words of truth to the hearts of people. Blessed are poor in the heart, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Emmanuel, the greatest expressions of God coming to us. Shall we fear anything? Shall we fear anything in our days today? I know it's bad out there. And I myself, I know it very well. Through the things that I have encountered in the recent month and the ongoing. But the Lord has prepared us, saying that Emmanuel, the Lord, came to be with us. Well, folk, this is a message for us today. We have one problem, and that is fear. That is a symptom, lack of unbelief. Because this man wouldn't want to believe. But you and I, we are required to march into Christmas, into next year, with this very truth, that Christmas is about God coming to be with us and to take away our fears of eternal judgment, of even the temporary sufferings that we may go through in this world. Even the blessings are there for us. Ask for a sign. Well, look, when I was a single person, I used to pray, and then time I want to pray for my wife, and then just you're right, so I want a wife like this and this and this and this and this. Lord, I ask for a sign. He says, you can do the same too. You see? The only things that I didn't ask for was my career, because he was going to raise me up himself. See, so people were disappointed that I didn't enroll for medicine. No, I enrolled for education. And then to work in a school as a teacher and lead my children to Jesus Christ, all the classes that I had. And the experience I had with these little children remains with me to eternity. I saw the Lord in their lives, transforming them, their testimonies. Well, ask for a sign. Believe and trust. Emmanuel, Jesus came to be with us. Do you have Jesus in your life? The reason you will fear is because you don't have Jesus. And if you have Jesus in your life, the reason you fear and you have unbelief is because you have this religious attitude, I will not put the Lord into test. But the Lord is saying, I am with you, Emmanuel. Let us pray.